Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
You know what I love most? I love that church today is wherever you are. I love it that, you know, maybe this morning we want to welcome you. You might be with your family. We want to welcome you. Maybe you're with some friends this morning, some housemates, or maybe wherever you are. You might be outdoors this morning. But church is not a building. You know what church is? Church is the people of God that are gathered together. And we love it this morning that instead of being one church here gathered in one location, that we're one church gathered in hundreds of locations and hundreds of homes all around Brisbane and beyond. And I love that because I want to tell you this morning, wherever you are today, God's presence is with you and God's Holy Spirit is with you this morning. And I'm believing this morning that God is going to fill you with fresh faith. I'm believing this morning that as we hear the word of God, that God's going to fill your heart with a confidence and a strength, and also as well that you're going to find the Holy Spirit will come around you and bring comfort and peace to you at this time. Well, I tell you, what a week it's been. I'm calling this a turn your world upside down kind of week. And the corona storm has well and truly hit our earth. It's been a week where it's seemingly like wave after wave has just been coming on the news. And it hasn't just been things that have been happening day by day, but sometimes hour by hour and minute by minute as we have been hit, it seems like on every side with all kinds of challenges and all kinds of adversity. And man, maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're dealing with some pretty big issues at work. Maybe there's challenges that are happening right now in your family, with loved ones. Maybe it's things that are just happening in the world right now that's caused your head to spin. I know that's why this week it's been a lot like a storm. That's the way I've pictured this week that's hit, because what I know about a storm is this. A storm is something that's unexpected. A storm is something that can feel overwhelming. A storm is definitely something that can leave us feeling disorientated. But I want to encourage you this morning. You know the Bible, which is the Word of God? It tells us that there is a way that we can steer our life through a storm. That we don't have to be afraid of the storm. That we don't have to live with anxiety in our hearts. And we don't have to dread what the future may hold. But that God wants to lead us, I believe, through every storm that we face and take us into a bright and a hope-filled future. And so this morning, I want to talk to you this morning about how to steer your life through a storm. You know, a few years back, I was training for an ocean swimming race. And the training that we had been doing was with a group of people, a squad. And we'd been training a lot in a 25-meter pool. And so our next phase of training was that we were moving from training in a 25-meter pool to actually doing our very first open water swim. And I remember this day very, very well, because the place we chose to have our first open water swim is a place that might be familiar, at least if you're a Queenslander. It was a place called Mooloolaba Beach. And so we set off this day. There was a group of us. We walked down Mooloolaba Beach around about a kilometer from the main area of Mooloolaba. And what our plan was to jump in that water, and we were going to swim that kilometer back to where all the high rises were at Mooloolaba. And I remember thinking to myself that day that, you know what? That swim, it's probably going to be a piece of cake for me. You know, I've done a kilometer many times before in a 25-meter pool. And so what's the difference swimming in an ocean? I want to tell you, I learned a lesson very, very quickly that day. Because here's the problem that was struck for me. You see, not only was it an open water swim in the ocean at Mooloolaba Beach, but actually there was a low pressure system that had been building off the coast for many, many days beforehand. And what happened was that it stirred up some very big waves on the shore. And honestly, when we set off for this swim, it felt like I was swimming inside a washing machine at that moment. It was like the waves had just stirred up the water so much. It was just turmoil. It was just chaos. I remember as I was doing freestyle, I'd put one arm out and then it'd literally be like a wave would just smack me on the side of the head. I'd go to breathe, which was quite difficult at that time. And I'd literally inhale salt water where I was. I don't know if you've inhaled salt water. It's not fun at all. And so it was like I was getting thrown around side from side and just tossed by every wave. And as I was going along and trying to just keep any sense of balance and orientation, I don't think I'd gone more than about 100 meters up the beach at this point when I began to have these thoughts. And I must admit, they weren't good thoughts. They were very much thoughts of panic. I was thinking to myself, I'm not going to make this swim. I think I may even drown. I don't know how I can get out of this right now, because the conditions that I found myself in were just so unstable, and they were just throwing me around from every side. And you know what I find? That's exactly what a storm is like. And it's exactly what I feel like this week's been like. Because when we've had a week like this, we can feel disorientated. We can feel at times overwhelmed. It can feel like wave after wave is just crashing into our world, and from one moment to the next, we're not sure what to do. But you know what? That's exactly how I felt on that swim. But lucky for me, there was some help that day. And the help that came that day was in the form of a man by the name of Jacko. Now, Jacko is our swim coach. He's a great guy. And he must have spotted that I wasn't doing all that well on the swim. And so Jacko swam over to me. And as he swam over to me, he called out my name, and I just stopped swimming. And so here we both were, you got to imagine this, at Bulalabar Beach. The waves are rolling through, and I'm treading water and just desperately trying to catch my breath. And so Jacko says to me, he says, Andrew, are you doing okay? And I couldn't even speak at that point. And I love it because Jacko gave me some great advice. He said, listen to me, here's what you need to do. He said, you see up there and above the waves, there's a big high-rise building. And I was like, yep. I could just see it above the waves that were rolling. Jacko said, all you need to do is swim towards that building that's in front of you. And every few strokes that you take, what I want you to do is just lift up your eyes. I want you to focus on that building. And all I want you to do is keep swimming towards it. And then Jacko gave me a bit of encouragement. He said, you can do this, mate. And he swam off. And so I did. I set off swimming again. And I tell you, the waves still hit. And the ocean, it still felt like being in a washing machine at that time. But what had changed was this, where my eyes were now focused. The gaze of my eyes had now shifted. Instead of looking at the waves, instead of looking at the turmoil that was around me, what I did was I began to fix my focus. I began to look at that building that was up ahead. And that building became like a true north for me. It became something that I could set my attention on and I could set my focus on, and it would help me to navigate. And so I swam and I did that. I kept looking at that place in the distance. And you know what it did for me? Even though it was still a very difficult and a very challenging swim, I want to tell you, I did make it eventually. But here's what I learned that day. I learned that to navigate my way through the ocean, I need to fix my eyes. To steer my way through stormy seas, I need to shift my focus. You see, I had to lift my eyes up above the waves. I had to lift my eyes up above the chaos. I had to lift my eyes up above the turmoil. I had to focus on something that was higher than the waves. I had to focus on something that was immovable. I had to focus on something that was unshakable. I had to focus my attention on something that wasn't in the ocean, but something that was set above it. Do you know the Word of God tells us to do exactly the same thing in life? Hebrews 12 verse 2, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That phrase, fix our eyes, it literally means to turn our eyes away from other things that distract us and to fix them on one thing or on one person. The Bible is saying, if you and I are going to navigate our way through the seas of life, through stormy seas, that you and I have to learn to lift up our eyes and fix them on the one who's set above those storms and who's set above those waves. And I tell you, that's what I learned that day. I learned to fix my eyes. The Bible is here telling us that in life, the greatest decision that you and I can make is to fix our eyes on Jesus. Why should we fix our eyes on Jesus? Because He's immovable. Because Jesus is unshakable. He's God Almighty. He's the rock of ages, the Bible says. That Jesus Christ, He is the same yesterday, today, and the Bible says forever. And to steer your life through a storm, it starts with fixing your eyes on Jesus. I love how the Bible says if we would fix our eyes on Jesus, He would be the author and the perfecter of our faith. His promise is that He would be the author. Do you know what an author does? An author writes the story. An author is the one who calls the shots. An author is the one who's in complete control of every outcome. And I love how this scripture says if we would just put our faith in Jesus, if we would fix our eyes on him, then God's promise is, I'll write the story of your life. God is saying in this scripture that I'll lead you and I'll guide you and I'll steer you through this storm and I'm going to get you to the other side. And I want to tell you here this morning, when God writes the story, let me tell you how the story ends. You win. You overcome. You rise above. The Bible says that the spirit of the resurrected Christ now lives in you. That means that because Jesus has risen, so you will rise again. And I'm here to tell you this morning, whatever adversity you might be facing, whatever challenge you might be confronting, whatever setback you might be dealing with, because Jesus has risen, so you will rise again. Don't let the storm of anxiety and negativity that's gripped this world get in your heart and weigh you down. I tell you, ships don't sink because of the water that's around them. Ships sink because of the water that gets in them. Don't let what's happening around you get inside you and weigh you down. Romans 8 verse 11 says, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is now living in you. Church, I want to tell you this morning, wherever you are, the same Holy Spirit, if the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from out of a grave and back to life and then seated him at the right hand of the Father as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if that same Holy Spirit now lives in you, can I ask you this morning, what challenge can defeat you? What adversity that you face can overcome you? What setback can stop you? The answer is nothing and no one. Because Jesus has risen, I want to tell you this morning, you can rise above as well. And as long as you keep fixing your eyes on Jesus, he will steer you through every storm and you will overcome. And so this morning, I want to give you three decisions that I believe that each of us can make that will help us to fix our eyes on Jesus and will steer us through the storms of life. Here's the first decision. We need to choose faith over fear. We have to make the decision that we're going to choose faith over fear. Romans 8 verse 11 says, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Do you know what the scripture says here? Fear is a spirit, but it's not from God. And there's no doubt that what spread faster than the coronavirus recently has been a pandemic of fear. And do you know what fear does? Fear lies to us. Fear shrinks us. Fear builds dread in our hearts. And fear tempts us to believe that there is no hope and that there are no answers. But listen, God has made a way for you and I to overcome fear and to choose faith. And here's what I've discovered. You don't need a lot of faith. You just need to take the faith you already have and just point it in the right direction. Jesus said this. He said, have faith in God. In other words, what Jesus was saying is, we all have faith. We all have faith. We can have faith in ourselves. We can have faith in another person. We can have faith in our bank account or our superannuation or our possessions. We can have faith in all kinds of things. Jesus was saying, don't put your faith in any of those other things. Have faith in God. In other words, Jesus was saying, point your faith in the direction of God and you'll overcome fear every single time. One of my favorite stories and favorite two guys in the Bible would have to be Joshua and Caleb. I love the story of Joshua and Caleb because it's the story actually of two young men or two guys who chose faith over fear. You see, they were part of a group of 12 people, 12 spies they were called, who were sent out on a scouting mission. They were to cross the Jordan River. They were to go in the land of Canaan and they were to spy out the land that God had already promised them as an inheritance. And what happened was that when they came back, 10 of the spies, that wasn't Joshua and Caleb, but 10 of the spies came back and they said this, we cannot do it. The people are too big. The giants are too powerful. The cities there are too fortified and we don't have the goods. They said, we are like grasshoppers. And the scripture says this, and they spread amongst the Israelites, of which there were several million, they spread amongst the Israelites a bad report. And what happened was an epidemic of fear and panic broke out amongst all the people. But after that, I love what Caleb did. This was Caleb's response to the epidemic of fear. In the book of Numbers 13, verse 30, it says this, "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses." I love that. Do you know you can silence fear? Fear might be shouting pretty loudly right now, but fear is always silenced by words of faith. He said this, "We should go up and take possession, for we can certainly do it. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord, he's with us. Do not be afraid of them." Do you know, a few chapters later, God commends Joshua and Caleb, and he says that they were people who had a different spirit. In other words, it means that when everyone else went to fear, Joshua and Caleb went to faith. When everyone else went to panic and everyone else went to despair, they put their trust and they put their confidence in God. And what I love about Joshua and Caleb is they spoke a message of faith into the culture of their day. You know what they said? "We have nothing to be afraid of. We don't have to bow down to the giants of fear. God is with us. God is for us, and God will help us get through this." Can I tell you right now, more than any other time when I've been alive, we need believers who are going to be willing to stand up boldly, and people who will speak faith and not fear. People who will be willing to speak hope and not despair. People who will be willing to speak life and not death. And I tell you what, I believe we cannot be quiet and just say, "Let's just see what happens." We have to be willing to speak a message of faith, not fear, to people that are all around us. Because I'm telling you, our God, he's our healer. Our God is a provider. Our God is our protection. And our God is most certainly our strength in times of trouble. You know, the first decision we need to make, if we're going to steer our life through the storms that face us, is we have to choose faith over fear. Here's the second decision, I believe, that we can make that will help us fix our eyes on Jesus and lead us through the storm, is we need to choose praying over panicking. We need to choose praying over panicking. In Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, it says this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and just thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace." And I love it. It says that God's peace will exceed anything that we can understand, and his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, God doesn't want us to spend our time panicking. God just wants us to spend our time praying. We don't have to live our lives driven by thoughts of worry and anxiety and stress. You know what? We can give all of our cares. The Bible says we can give all of our worries, all of our anxieties. We can just give them all to God. It's called praying. And here's what I've discovered. God has much bigger shoulders than we do. And he wants us to pray right now. And he wants us to give him all of our cares, all of our concerns, and all of our problems. And I know this in life. We have two choices of what we can do with our cares. We can either carry them or we can cast them. In other words, we can either carry them ourselves or we can cast them on God. In 1 Peter 5 verse 7, it says, "Casting all of your care." In another translation, it says, "Casting all of your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you." Listen, you know what that word care means? It means all of your worries, all of your anxieties, all of your fears. The Bible says you should cast all of those. You should hand all of those over to God. Let him carry those for you. Why? Because the Bible says you can cast those things on him, for he cares for you. And listen, wherever you are this morning, I want to encourage you today that God loves you and God cares for you deeply. God cares about your family. God cares about your workplace. God cares about your health. God cares about your future. God cares about every detail of your life. And he cares for you, and he wants to carry all of your worries for you. Here's what I've learned about praying. Praying is trusting. Praying is the ultimate expression of trusting. You see, what praying really is praying is a decision that we make in our lives to choose trust over control. You know, the greatest human dilemma I think we all have is that we seek security from what we can control. If we can control all the variables of our life, we can find a sense of security. But where do we find that security when all the variables are thrown up in the air? Where do we find our confidence when it seems like everything is shaken? You know what? You and I, we can trust God to take care of all of those things we cannot control. You see, you can either try to control or you can make a decision that you can entrust. Prayer is saying to God, God, I relinquish control. And God, I choose to trust you, God, for all the things, God, right now that I cannot control. In Psalm 121, verse 4, this is what it says about God. I love it. It says, indeed, he, that's God, who watches over Israel, never slumbers and never sleeps. I love it how the Bible says God never slumbers or God never sleeps because he's watching over you. So here's the way I take that scripture. If God is staying up all night, then you may as well go to bed. You can be confident knowing that you can trust God to take care of all that you cannot control because he promises that he cares for you and that he's watching over you every moment of every day of your life. You see, the second great decision you and I can make to steer ourselves through the storms of life is that you and I can choose praying over panicking. And here's the third one, which I believe is so relevant in this hour. The third decision to steer us through the storms of life is we need to choose helping over hoarding. You know, the Bible, it's in the dictionary, it says this about what hoarding is. To hoard something is to collect large amounts of something and just to keep it for yourself. And I'm sure that we're all aware there's been a fair bit of that going on in the last few weeks. It's been quite amazing, really, some of the items that have been hoarded away. And I'm sure 2 weeks ago, who in their right mind would have ever thought that toilet rolls would become a collector's item? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 11 and verse 24, it speaks about this way of life. It says, one person gives freely, yet they gain even more. Another withholds unduly, they hoard away, but they come to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will themselves be refreshed. You know the Bible says, don't hoard things away. Don't withhold things from others, because it's actually a pathway to poverty in life. The Bible says here that we're to be people who give freely to others. We're to be generous with what we have. We're to bless others. We're to help others. We're to love others. We're to put others first before ourselves. And I believe there's no greater time right now for you and I to think in our lives and to ask how we can help others, how we can be kind, how we can be generous, how we can look out for our neighbors, how we can look out for our family, how we can call people maybe we haven't connected with in a long time. We can ask them how they're doing. We can pray for them. We can encourage them, and we can be there to be a light and to be love in their world. The Bible says if we would live like that, if we would show the love of God to others right now and not withhold, that we would give away. The Bible says if we would live like that, if we would give away, Jesus says here, the Word of God says you'll gain back even more. In giving away, you and I will gain even more. And it says that you and I will be refreshed by living that way. You know, the greatest way that you and I can live is a life devoted to helping others. And I believe that right now that you and I are called at this time right now to live in such a way that we would be generous and we would be kind and we would look to help and support and care for one another in our community and far beyond that. So how do you steer your life through a storm? Number one, we choose faith over fear. That's a decision sometimes that we need to make, not just once a day, but many times. Secondly, we need to choose praying over panicking. The Bible says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Cast all your cares on God. And the third one is we choose to live a life helping and not hoarding.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.